The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week 2019 title sponsor, Techstars. At the core, Techstars is a company founded by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. With more than 300,000 alumni and 10,000 mentors across 150 countries, Techstars is a worldwide network that helps entrepreneurs succeed. To learn more, go to techstars.com. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. This is one of 20 interviews recorded in a pop-up backroom studio at Dojo 4 during the 10th annual Boulder Startup Week. When it started in 2009, Boulder Startup Week was the first event of its kind anywhere. Now, Startup Weeks are held around the world. It's a great example of Boulder's position on the leading edge of tech and the future. Our guest for episode 51 is David McCloskey, founder and chief technical officer at Authentic Labs. They design and build tools that connect consumers to companies by giving individuals deeper insight into the products and brands they buy. David and I talk about a lot of things, including how Authentic Labs applies AI to benefit consumers, the remarkably high percentage of counterfeit goods hidden in plain sight, online, and on store shelves, how Authentic Labs' RealTag protects consumers and ensures product authenticity, and the cool fact that the RealTag's underlying technology is a human-made molecule. All of that and more as the Boulder Tech Podcast speaks with Authentic Labs' David McCloskey. Talk a little bit about what Authentic Labs does.
So I want to back up for a second to tell you the reason why we're doing what we're doing first.
Please.
So 15 years ago, I used to make computer games, massively multiplayer online games, and I was already old for that industry when I was making those games for Microsoft and AOL and Deutsche Telekom. Remember AOL?
Mm-hmm.
So we delivered content to Microsoft, the first pay-to-play massively multiplayer games, allowing 200 people to play in an arena over dial-up modems. So this is early days of internet. And I was already old at that time for that industry, or at least I felt that way. My wife and I started having kids, and my kid, oldest, who's now in college, was playing with some Tinker Toys, and he did something unexpected, and I couldn't stop thinking about how he had extended the play of Tinker Toys. And so I developed something to do that for Hasbro with that in mind. Hasbro didn't want to see it, and I ended up forming a toy company around these new building toys based on Tinker Toys.
So what is this extended function of Tinker Toys?
Well, I added surfaces and characters to extend the play pattern, much the same as Lego developed theme-based sets. I had flight sets and castles and automobiles and all sorts of things. And the great thing about those toys is they'd really stay together when you put them together. So you could take your truck and throw it down the stairway and it would hold up.
Right.
So that was good for my kids playing. And I certainly had a good time building all of that. And that's how I entered the toy industry. So 15 years ago, we started in that space. That company's evolved to the point now where I like to call it a mini multinational. We have offices in Dublin to serve Europe and Hong Kong to serve Southeast Asia and other continents over in that general direction.
Mm-hmm.
So quite a few lessons learned in building that enterprise. And among them, we brought Kinetic Sand to market. We were the creators of Kinetic Sand and we became best known for the compounds that we develop. So we're big into early childhood development and very focused on play value and giving that child tools that they're able to create new things with. And so our company is called Relevant Play, the toy company, and it's thriving and doing really well. Along the way, I couldn't stop my technology side, and I've created a few technologies that allow us to make those compounds interactive. So we can make an interactive dough. We can make our Mad Matter product be a real-time interactive experience for the kids where the dough becomes the game controller. Disney thought that was a really neat idea. Why don't you come out and visit? So I went to talk to them, and they were developing toys with RFID chips in them, and they wanted to get rid of the RFID chip, and they thought maybe my tech could do that. Turns out that wasn't possible, but we went back, did 2.5 years of chemistry, and created a new molecule that we could use to detect with a smartphone. Mm-hmm. And so now we have this proprietary molecule, and we're using it for authentication purposes, much the same way as Disney thought they would like to do it. But what we're empowering now at Authentic Labs with the ability for consumers to detect and authenticate items with their smartphones is the ability to deliver content from the manufacturer, custom proprietary content, and really increase the engagement of that consumer where they can participate in the brand and with the brands, sharing information on social media. And then we are very much attuned to adding value, much the same on the toy side. So what does the consumer get out of this that's going to be beneficial for them? It's like having a concierge in your pocket that keeps track of your stuff. So if you need care and handling information, you spill coffee on that teddy bear for your kid or whatever, you don't have to try and read the small print on the label that may or may not have been chewed off by the family pet. You have it in your pocket to access.
Okay. First of all, I didn't know you could invent a molecule. I thought we just had the molecules we have and that's it. So that's pretty cool. So this is basically something your phone will interact with the tag on the product. Is that how it works? Or is the molecule embedded in the product itself and your phone picks that up?
We are commercializing a label that will be applied to consumer goods.
And okay.
We're working with major brands in and out of the toy industry to start rolling that technology out.
What will it take to achieve widespread adoption of this?
That's another
because great question. I guess I'll just say, you know, as a consumer, like I never thought that I needed this until I read about it, and frankly, I'm still not sure that I need it. So I'm interested to hear your pitch on why we all need this.
Sure, brands don't like to talk about the fact that their items are being counterfeited because mm-hmm. there are safety and there are risks to their brands and reputations involved. But 13% of the toys on the shelf in the U.S. are counterfeit. They're not made by the brands that it looks like they are made by. And that's a big number.
That is.
That's a lot of toys. And that's just in the U.S., which has pretty strong borders for protecting against counterfeits.
Mm-hmm.
It's far worse in Southeast Asia and in Europe as well.
Right.
And the global counterfeiting market is over $1.5 trillion per year.
Wow.
In terms of the dollar volume. Typically, counterfeit products are not just taking the design away from the brand owner, but using substandard materials to reduce the costs,
mm-hmm.
using forced labor. And sometimes those organizations are funding other nefarious projects like terrorism. So it's a big issue. And to the consumer, it can be important for safety.
Mm-hmm.
We make those compounds like Play-Doh or Mad Matter. We make Mad Matter, not Play-Doh, but there the child is, and I should mention that every toy that I've ever made has been knocked off.
When you say knocked off, you mean counterfeited?
Yes.
Okay.
And the child's playing with the compound with their fingers and they put their finger in their eye. Well, what chemistry went into that material? And did that material pass international toy safety standards the way our products need to and do exceed those safety standards? So we care about the parent. We care about those kids. We certainly care about our brand and protecting our brand. And it is a risk. We had a child years ago who was injured from a counterfeit toy. This happened overseas. Stuck his hand in a box that looked like it was our box, but it wasn't. And it didn't have our product inside, and the child got cut.
Wow.
On a sharp object, and it was not our toy. But it had our brand name on it. We had to address that. We took care of that child and the family. But it's those types of things that we hope to help parents avoid in the future.
Am I a typical person in that I was completely unaware of this counterfeiting issue until you just told me about it? Or am I out of the loop and most parents know, like, oh yeah, you've really got to be on the lookout for counterfeit stuff?
I think you're in the majority.
Okay.
Most people don't have an idea that what they might be buying could be a knockoff product.
So 13% of the toys on the shelves in U.S. stores, and really we're talking, because Toys R Us is gone now, so we're talking like Target and department store kind of stuff.
So the great thing about the Disneys of the world and their partnerships with the Targets and the Walmarts is that they really do their homework. They really do a lot of track and trace on their product lines. And I can't single anybody out to say one brand has an issue over another, but that's a number that's thrown about behind the scenes within the toy industry, that it's that prevalent. What we're able to do is, because everything can be reverse engineered, even that track and trace ability, and counterfeiters can work a deal and get their products into somebody's supply chain, we're empowering the consumer with the ability to know that it's the legitimate item, that it's the real Nike shoe that they're buying if we were to work with Nike.
Has this been rolled out yet?
We're running an initial trial, oddly enough, with my toy company, Relevant Play. So we're doing...
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence. The great thing is we have a need over there, which is part of the reason why we developed it. But we have content that we want to get in the hands of our consumers to give the kids more tools so that they're able to use their creativity and benefit from the experience while enjoying the knowledge that the product is true and genuine.
I guess it's too soon to ask what kind of consumer adoption have you seen. So how will this work? What will I need on my phone to be able to access your technology?
So we'll be releasing our Real app soon. The technology is called Real, and the Real app will be iOS and Android. It uses light from your phone to authenticate the labels. In the case, we're putting the label on the outside of our box or on the package, so you're able to authenticate prior to purchase, and you need a simple app and less than a second to authenticate a product.
And what will you be doing to educate the consumers on why they need this?
We have initiatives within the toy industry that are taking place at the moment that I'm not at liberty to talk about, but I'll say that we're leveraging the industry PR wagon.
And are you just starting in the toy industry? Is it intended to be just for the toy industry? Or is this, I imagine that this could extend to dishwashers and Zizzies and Nernies and whatever else people are selling.
Exactly. So we are just starting in the toy industry because it's an industry that we know really, really well. We have great industry connections and we know there's a desire and need there to educate the consumers and protect the kids. And so we're starting there, but we're taking it to other industries as well. And we have to do that at a measured approach.
Sure.
Given we have to create our molecules. So
right. I'm still wrapping my mind around that molecule thing. Mm. I can see how this will be really easy to use at a point of purchase in a physical retail space. How does this expand to Amazon?
That's a great question too. We do have some ideas around how it can benefit online transactions. I'm not ready to talk about any of those.
What future uses for the Real tag or this molecule do you see beyond authenticating products?
Really, it's empowering the consumer to know with certainty that it's a legitimate product for warranties or support issues. There are so many manufacturers that I've talked to that get the product back in for service, and it's not their product. That's everything from pocket knives to dishwashers. So it's amazing that somebody would counterfeit a large kitchen appliance, but it happens.
So how does that get into the supply chain?
Those are areas I'm not focused on. I'm focused on delivering and empowering the consumer with the ability to know that they're spending their money wisely.
What else are you working on at Authentic Labs?
We have a development roadmap that stretches for several years, and we're steeped presently in commercializing the technology to start that off. The R&D side of the company is super excited over how many different directions we can take our current chemistry and future ideas forward to enhance and to really extend what's possible with the detectors that everybody has in their pocket.
How long have you been in Boulder?
Since 89. I moved out here in my 20s because I was a cyclist, and these were far better roads than Western Pennsylvania.
And so you just decided to stick around. Absolutely. Like many of us came here for school, for example, me. Yeah. And here I am still many years later.
The sun shines here. So that's the reason.
That answers my next question. Why did you choose to base Authentic Labs here? Because you are already here and it's a great spot. And why wouldn't you?
Well, there's that. But there's also the really well-educated and talented people mm-hmm. come to this area. And so we're able to enjoy that as well.
How many people are working for you?
Currently, there's four of us at Authentic. We do have plans for growth, but we're doing a measured approach with our spend. The technology is ready to be commercialized, and we are in production now with our first labels. So the great thing about the infrastructure and the platform we've put together is it scales really well with very little overhead.
What's your relationship with the Boulder tech and startup community? Being here in Boulder, do you feel like you're an integrated part of the tech and startup community, or just kind of an outsider who's hanging out during startup week?
We're located in Industrious, which mm-hmm. is in downtown Boulder, and in the
so whether you like it or not, there. You're integrated into the startup
exactly.
and tech community.
Exactly, and so there's a lot of thriving, little burgeoning companies there, and everybody's got their head down and they're going at it pretty hard. I have a couple conflicts this week. I've got a board meeting with my toy company, and I've got another board meeting with Authentic Labs. And so I'm being pulled in several directions at the moment, but trying to get over there at some point.
What else would you like listeners to know about Authentic Labs or Relevant Toys or anything else?
So at Authentic, when you scan a product, none of your data is sent to our servers. We know the town that a scan took place in, but that's as close as we come. We are making every effort to keep the privacy of the individuals and what they own as secure as possible. We will never sell user data. We provide analytics to our brands that are licensing and applying labels, but they never have access to specific individuals, and that's to protect the consumers. Everything that we're doing is around that purpose.
And that seems like it's a stronger and stronger selling point as time goes on, is just the privacy issue.
Right. The regulations that are in place in Europe now, called GDPR, are a year old. Several well-known internet companies are being
run into issues
exactly in that space. And we're fortunate in that we've started our architecture with that in mind, and we'll be as best as is defined at the moment, fully compliant with the regulations for Europe when we take our technology there, as well as here in the States when those rules, whatever our legislators decide mm-hmm. they need to do, we'll be ready for that.
Do you know if there's any data or been any studies on how many, you know, because you can track every click these days. So is there a percentage or some way to quantify how far people get in a process before they're like, they're just asking for too much information from me. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I wish Madison were here. She'd be able to address that better. She's head of marketing for our organization. She has a wealth of experience in digital marketing.
But if somebody is tracking that, and there
Absolutely.
Is an answer to that question.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm curious about that.
We do know that consumers care about what they're buying more than just the brand. They care about how it's being made, whether the materials are sustainable, whether it was ethically sourced, in that there's no slave labor or prison camps involved in the manufacture of that product. That does happening. Mm-hmm. And although we don't hear about it on a daily basis, I know of stories where, as a manufacturer, you may seek to have a product made. You arrange a deal with a specific manufacturer. You go visit their facilities. It looks like everything's good to go. And then they outsource that production to a prison. And your product's actually being made by prisoners before it comes back to you. And you have no idea. as the brand owner or the manufacturer that that's taking place.
Right.
Those are really serious issues that major brands work to combat every day.
Are these items being manufactured by American prisoners or
most
prisoners overseas?
The stories that I've heard are overseas.
Okay.
In mainland China.
Okay. Anything else that you'd like to add?
That's been super fun. And it's a pleasure to come here. And I wish everybody the best at startup.
David McCloskey from Authentic Labs and Relevant Play. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was David McCloskey, founder and chief technical officer at Authentic Labs. Learn more at AuthenticLabs.com and follow the company on Twitter at Authentic_Labs. Episode number 51 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week legal IP track sponsor, Berg Hill Greenleaf Rischitti. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Boulder Startup Week platinum sponsors Honey, Matter, and Zayo. We're also supported by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for recording gear and studio usage. Our intro music is by Echo Deck. Hear more at echodeck.com. That's ECCODEK. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, comments, and guest suggestions are welcome. Reach me at joel@dojo4.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.